My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Bible Church. Before we get started, I just want to say congratulations to Maui High and Baldwin for making it to the finals and being the final two baseball teams in Hawaii. I think that's the first time in history, right, that two Maui teams. I just want to say that if it was, you know, Iolani and Baldwin or Iolani and Maui High, that they would have played it out. But because they're outer island, they just said, oh, tie, tie. But that just shows that outer island's better, right? And all God's people said, congratulations to anybody that was on the team. I know Chase Nozaki, he's on the Baldwin team. I made a mistake and said he was on the Maui High team last service. But yeah, it's awesome to see our island boys making it to the finals. We are in a series, and we just got finished. There was a baptism last week, but there was also cleansing stream. We had a child dedication. There's just a season of new beginnings. And so whenever God does something new, there's always a pushback of the enemy. And so this is the final sermon in our Rooted series. And so we're going to talk about how to maintain freedom in the Lord, because freedom isn't just an experience. It's not just a one-time experience, but it is a process. Everyone say process. And God is doing something every single day in our lives. And our freedom is based not in a one-time experience, but the daily disciplines, the small choices we make every single day. That's where the lasting freedom is found. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, especially in our families. And I'm going to offend some people today. Why don't you say this with me? Say, I will not be offended by the word of God. I'm his child, he loves me, and I will receive what he has to say. Amen. This is Grace Bible Church. We have grace, but we also have the Bible. And I'm going to preach from the Bible, and I pray that you will not be offended and that you'll receive the truth. How many of you know sometimes the truth hurts? Anybody? Sometimes the truth hurts, and we can either get offended with the truth or we can receive it. You ever have a friend that as you're talking to them over dinner or lunch or whatever, that there's a big booger hanging out of their nose? And you're wrestling with being honest and telling them that there's something hanging out of their nose, or just letting them go the entire meal and not saying anything and waiting for them to get in front of a mirror and then realize, that person didn't tell me anything. How many of you ever experienced that awkwardness? Just me? Yeah? How many of you have ever stepped out and said something to somebody that was uncomfortable in telling somebody the truth? Anybody? Yeah? And the closer you are to somebody, the more likely you're going to tell them the truth, right? If it's your kid, you're going to tell them, hey, you got a booger hanging out of your nose. Well, wipe that up. But if it's like somebody at work or, you know, your boss or something, maybe you won't say something. But how many of you know God is our Father? We're his children. He loves us, and he's going to tell us the truth, whether it offends us or not, right? Are you guys wondering what we're going to talk about today? Yeah. Let's read these scriptures together. 2 Corinthians 3:17 at the count of three. One, two, three. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's read Galatians 5:1 together. One, two, three. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. God's whole purpose in our lives is God is love. And if God is love, God is also freedom. Why is God freedom? Because without freedom, we can't choose to love. If he wanted to take away freedom and control us, us loving him wouldn't be a choice. How many of you ever thought about why God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden, and he didn't put it on Mount Everest? They had to walk past that tree every single day, and they had to make a choice not to eat that tree. How many of you, with your kids, you would, whenever there's something bad, you want to take that bad thing and you want to put it far as possible away from them so they don't have the choice to do something bad? But the older that they get, the more that we have to trust and the more we have to let them make their own decisions. And in the value of the decision, when they do choose what's right, that it's a precious thing. And so God, do you know he trusts you? That he gives you a choice because he trusts you. Turn to the person next to you and tell the person next to you, God trusts you. He trusts you, and he gives you freedom to make a decision. We have come out of this cleansing stream retreat for those of us that went into it, and there's many choices that we can make now. And God trusts you, not because you're perfect, but because he loves you, and he has confidence that his love that you have experienced will transform your life. How many of you know that change is hard? Change is a very difficult thing. And how many of you have ever tried to change and it's been a difficult process to change? Once there's momentum in a certain direction, it's very difficult to change paths. I was telling several weeks ago in the last service that I've been attending these classes because I had a heart condition, and they teach you how to change your diet. And it is probably the most unpleasant thing to change your diet if the things that you're eating are good. My wife, she makes awesome chicken adobo. It's like the best. And she makes a lot of other stuff that's really good. And I go to this class, and for the first time in my life, I have to change now and eat tofu and eat beans and eat plants that taste like cardboard with no dressing. And it's the most irritating thing that I've ever experienced in my life, and it's irritating because there's nobody to be mad at. I mean, I could be mad at my instructors, but they just want me to live longer. I could be mad at my wife, but she's not the one making me the food. Like, I'm making it myself. I could be mad at her for not making me the food, but to be honest, if she was making the food, I wouldn't eat it. I'm only eating it because I'm making it myself. And last night, one of the guys in the church gave me an ahi, and I was cutting the ahi, preparing it for my family, and I was getting all irritated that I wasn't going to be able to eat it. And then my wife, she deep fries it, wraps it with panko, puts like this stuff all over it, and I'm just hating life. And as I'm sitting there watching my family eat it, my son, he starts teasing me and saying, the food that you eat looks like Hoku, our dog, Hoku's food. And he pulls out Hoku's dog snacks and he puts it next to my food and says, look, they look the same. I'm getting all irritated with him. But for the first time in my life, I'm sitting down with these other people, and because we're all doing it together, I can actually change my diet, even though I don't enjoy it. Because they're telling me about the tasteless, the best tasteless stuff that they're buying at Safeway, and telling me what to buy and how to make it. And so, like, we're doing it together. And it's amazing because these guys that are in the class, they've come into the class, and they the first day that they were there, one of the guys couldn't even exercise for half an hour, and he was ready to pass out. And they had to take him outside and give him apple juice, and another guy couldn't even make it through, and he was on tons of meds. We're in our second month, and the guy that's on all these medications has just got off half of them. And the guy that couldn't, was getting all dizzy, ready to pass out, he's running on a treadmill 30 minutes at a clip. And just from the food that we've changed in our eating. And there's no way that that would have happened without a group. And in the same way, there's different patterns that we've learned in our lives that are just easy for us. We just go through life and, you know, you're hungry and you just pick that up. But spiritually, relationally, the way that we solve problems and solve conflict, we solve it the way that we saw our parents solve it and the way that our friends solve it. And we adopt the same values that our culture around us adopts. And so we're in this unhealthy pattern, and we need to get around other people, other kingdom-minded people, and then it becomes very easy to switch lifestyle. It becomes very easy to walk in freedom in areas that God reveals to us. And I just want to thank the Teen Challenge guys that are here. Can we give a hand for Billy and the guys that are here? They were huge blessings during the Lahaina fires. They came in and they were serving and cooking and all kinds of stuff. It's great to have you. Thank you guys for coming. Freedom happens in a cohort, right? Freedom happens when you're surrounded with people with a like mind. And so what are the things that we need to change? Like for me, I have to change my diet. But for us, what are the things that the disciplines that we need in our lives to change the course of our direction and live in freedom? There's four major things. In point one, time in the Word. Everyone say the Word. Prayer, worship, and fellowship. It's a lifestyle of freedom that happens every single day. Let's read the scripture together at the count of three. One, two, three. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Turn off the phone. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the Word. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord's prayer and worship, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's fellowship. Let me just pray. God, thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you that your Word transforms us. You said that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. God, we pray for freedom in this place, in our own lives personally, in our families, in our marriages. And Lord, that you would lead us on the path that you have planned for us from the inception of time. God, we thank you that every single one of us are here, not as a mistake and not by accident, but that you have a purpose and a plan for every single person who's here this morning. We pray that you would speak to us through your Word. Reveal who you are to us. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Change is easy with a group. Freedom begins in our homes. We can get all the things right, but if our homes are a mess, how many of you know it's pretty hard to serve God? It's pretty hard to walk in freedom if the things at home aren't correct. And so I want to share from the Word this morning the proper alignment and how God created us to live in harmony in our homes. How many want harmony in your home? Okay, freedom begins in our home. Husband and wives are equal in value, but different in roles. Equal in value, but different in roles. Let's read the scripture together. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, 11 and 12. At the count of three, one, two, three. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not, say that again, independent. How many of you have heard the song Independent Woman? There's a song Independent Woman, I'm pretty sure, right? Beyonce, she's the one that wrote that song. And everybody just wants to be, or all the women just want to be an independent woman. It's like a value of our culture. You want to be strong. You don't want to depend on a man. You don't need men. You don't need your husband. You just want to be a strong, independent woman. That is not biblical. God didn't call any of us to walk alone. He didn't call any of us to be independent, men included. God's called all of us to depend on one another, to lean on one another, and not to let one another down. Christ modeled this when he came. He said, I don't do anything on my own. I do everything that I see the Father do. I only say the things I hear the Father say. He was submitted to his Father. And then he says, if you want to be like me, you need to be submitted to me and to one another. God's called us to be a family that loves one another, serves one another, is submitted to one another, depends on one another. But because we live in a broken world, there's people that have been betrayed. And when you're betrayed and you're hurt, and we live in a world that's hurt, and the values that we learn are from a hurt world, and because hurt people, there's a propagated value to just be independent and don't depend on anyone else. But if you ever become independent, you will never experience the full joy and purpose that God has for you, because it's always meant to be experienced in community with one another. And everyone said, amen. How many rather listen to Jesus instead of Beyonce? Amen. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. How many of you know men that are dogs, that just want to play the field, that never want to get married, no commitment? Because guys that are in the world and guys that don't adopt the values of the kingdom, they say, I don't need to get married. That's going to interrupt my freedom. And instead of living in love, they live in lust, and they just adopt those values of the world. And because men are like that, women are like, well, we're going to be independent then. We don't need men. And it's just this vicious cycle. But that's not kingdom value. That's not the way that Christ ever wanted us to live. So nevertheless, so it's not just women, it's men. It's a circular, vicious cycle. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man of woman. For as woman was made for man, in Genesis it talks about woman being created from the rib of Adam. As woman is from man, so is man now born of woman. How many of you needed a woman to be born? I think that's every single one of us, right? And so it doesn't matter if a woman was taken from man. Every single one of us men came out of a woman. And so God is saying that there is no difference in value. There might be a difference in role, but everyone is valued equally in the eyes of God. Woman came from man, but man now is born of woman, and all things are from God. Look at the person next to you and say, you are a gift from God. You are a gift from God. Every single person has been given by God. Don't fall into the lie, women, that you should be independent. Don't fall into the lie, men, that you should be free. We need one another to experience the promises of God. Everyone said, amen. Here, this is where I'm going to like offend you. Are you guys ready to be offended? Our marriages are a reflection of Christ in the church. It's not just about us. It's just not about us experiencing the most fulfilling marriage, the perfect spouse. When we get married, the reason why marriage is such a valuable covenant, it's not a contract, it's a covenant, is because it's a reflection of Christ's love for the church and the church's love for Christ. This is Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Let's read this entire passage together. 1, 2, 3. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And all the husbands said, there's one brave husband in the whole church. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. If you read that, it says that Christ's love sanctified the church. You know, there's a time when Justin and I first got married, and we got in this argument, and I got all upset. I'm driving away, and I'm like, she's such a, you know, God, why'd you give me this wife? I didn't say that. I'm just like, you know, embellishing. And I'm like, she's not submitted. And then I felt like God said, well, why are you submitted to me? And I thought about it, and I thought, I'm submitted to Jesus because he loves me. And he loved me enough to die for me. And that love has caused me to want to live for him. Like the revelation of that love and the experience of that love has made me want to live for him. And then I heard God say, do you love her the same way that you love me? And I was like, probably not. Or same way that he loves me, do I love her? And I realized that she doesn't serve me or submit to me because I don't love her the way I'm supposed to. And so God put it on me that if I love her the way that Christ loved me, the natural response is to be submitted. And that word submitted has a bad rap. And I want to explain what submission is. Submission isn't being a doormat. Submission isn't like you say this and I just do it. That's not what submission is. Submission is an attitude of trust and honor and respect because love has been given. It's a natural response that God has put within the heart of humanity. And we submit to Christ because he loved us. And the same values should operate within a house that is submitted to Christ and the values of the kingdom that are operated in that. Submission is coming under the covering of. And the fruit of submission is an attitude of honor and respect. Wives aren't only to be submitted to their husbands. Husbands are to be submitted to Christ. And we as husbands need to model what submission looks like to our wives. And I have a very loving wife, and she trusts me much more than I deserve. I wouldn't trust me the way that she trusts me. But I grew up in a home where I knew that my dad was submitted to the Lord. And my wife has watched me and the way that I submit to those that are in authority in my life. So even though my dad has given me the honor to lead this church, I am submitted to my father. I'm submitted to my mother. If my dad ever told me, John, you are off base this Sunday, you preached like you got some weird wacko thing out of the Bible that I have no idea how you got that, I would be submitted to him and I would listen to him because God put him in my life as an authority. And the same thing with my mom. Like, she's told me a lot of things over the years that have been crazy, but when I listen to it, God blesses. And, you know, in our marriage, I've told Joss from the beginning, if I ever do anything that is off base and wrong, you know who to call. And she knows she can talk to my dad. She knows she can talk to my mom. She knows she can talk to Pastor Norman. There's a lot of people that she can talk to that I would accept correction from. And so because I'm submitted and I model submission to my wife, she can trust me. And then in her modeling that in our house, our kids can be submitted to her and submitted to me. So there's this submission to one another under Christ that permeates our home, that brings peace. And in the kingdom, as believers, we aren't to adopt the values from the culture and adopt the values from the world of being independent and to just, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm uncorrectable. We model what submission, what humility, what honor and respect looks like. Amen? Whoa, that was weak. Amen? Amen. So Christ submits to God. Christ is God, but it says that Christ submits to the Father. Man submits to Christ. Women submits to husbands. Children submit to the parents. And by the grace of God and the blessings of legacy, I can honestly say that we live in a household of peace, and that our kids, you know, are much more submitted to us than we deserve. They're great kids that you know we're blessed to have. And that's not because of us, but that's because of the grace that God has on us from living out the word every day in the small decisions every single day. It's not just the submission to one another, but the honoring of one another's gifts. So Christ is the head. And we are the church. The church is the body, Christ is the head. And the head thinks, the body feels. In the same way, in a marriage, the head thinks and the body feels. The wife feels. I might offend some people here, but how many husbands, and be honest, this is church, how many husbands have ever felt like your wife just does not make sense? And that's normal, right? That's normal. God's blessed men with logic. God's blessed women with emotions and feelings. And both are needed. I remember my dad, you know, growing up, and he handled the finances of the house. And there was a time when this church was meeting in that building on the side that he got the men together and wanted to pull together to get into this investment. And it was a good investment, and the person that was going to manage the funds was a registered investor and all of that. And so they were ready to put their money together, make this investment, and he's ready to leave to meet with these men. And my mom said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to, you know, make this investment with these guys." And she said, "I just don't feel good about that." And he said, "Why?" And she said, "I don't know. I just don't feel good about it." And he said, "I'm ready to meet with these guys. We're all going to put our money together and make this deal. And you're telling me that you don't feel good about it, and you're not giving me any reason. What am I supposed to tell them?" "Just tell them that your wife doesn't approve." How many men would listen to your wife? In it? So he goes into that meeting. Some wise husbands here. He goes into that meeting and he says, "We're not going to do this investment." And they're like, "Why? What went wrong? What's different?" And he said, "Well, Susan, she doesn't want me to get involved in this investment." And they're like, "What?" And so they didn't get involved. It was just weeks after that that the stock market crashed and everything fell out. And if they had jumped into that investment, they would have lost at least half of it. And there was no logic in it, but it was just that God put within women the ability to feel. And so with my wife, she doesn't have to make sense all the time. But whenever there's a big decision that needs to be made, I know that God put within her, you know, those feelings that I need to listen to. Because it's the heating element on a stove, even though it's not orange, and the mind looks at it and says, "There's no danger." When the body gets close, it can sense that there's something wrong, right? And so as we're working together as a head and a body, the head needs to respect what the body feels, but the body also needs to respect what the head is saying. And when they work together as one, that's where we see miracles happen. That's where we see the blessing of God. Where unity is, God commands a blessing. And so there's been so many different times where we get together and, you know, I want to do something financially or whatever, and I ask her, "What do you think about this?" or "What do you feel about this?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't feel comfortable." And then we just won't do it. Like just this past year, there was something that I asked her about and she didn't feel good about it. And it ended up being one of the best decisions that we made. And it made no sense. Logically, it was like perfect. But when I asked her how she felt about it, she's like, "Oh, I don't feel good about that." And so we didn't do it. And it ended up being like one of the best decisions that we ever made. As husbands and wives work together, there's a blessing that comes. This July, we're going to make 25 years of being together. Thanks. But it's... what was I going to say? Oh yeah, we're going to be together more years than apart, which makes me feel really old, but that I guess we reached that point, you know, at some time in our lives. 5 years ago, we went on a trip to Bali to celebrate our 20th anniversary, and God taught me a really important lesson that I want to share with you today. So if we can throw that video up there.
You gotta see the view in this place. It's amazing.
So this is Bali. I was doing missions here for and went here a couple times. We did like surf ministry and served communities out there. This is the first time I brought Joss with me.
top of that mountain. I don't know when's the next time we're going to come back, so I hope that we're able to do it.
So we had to wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to start the hike, and it took like 3 hours to get to the top. The whole purpose was to see the sunrise. And we were the last ones on this hike. There was probably like 30 people on this hike, old people, and we were the last ones.
The volcano's still alive. So it's freezing, but it feels really good just to put your hand next to the steam.
That's our tour guide right behind. He said we're the slowest people he's ever had to take to the top of the mountain. I bought this drone to take footage, and after we got back from Bali, I let my son use it for fishing to drop a line, and he dropped the drone into the ocean. So so the whole goal was to get there before sunrise. And when we were on our way up, we were the last ones. And so I started hiking faster and trying to push Joss to go faster. And she wasn't having it. She's like, I can't go any faster than I'm going. And I had this thought, like, I'm just gonna go without her. I wanna get to the top to see the sunrise. We're like here on the other side of the world. And so, you know, we start going faster, and then I had this thought that how lame would that be for me to be on my 20th anniversary, leave my wife behind, get to the top of Mount Batur alone. And I had this word from the Lord, you know, as I was, you know, hiking up and getting off frustrated that we're going to miss the sunrise. And God said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I was like, wow. God has a destination. And we ended up getting there right as the sun came up. The perfect time. And we took those pictures there. And it was a lesson to me that God has a destination for all of us. God has a sunrise for us to get to, a plan and a purpose. And we can choose to get there faster, alone, or we can get there, go the distance, go far together. And in all of our lives, there's gonna be obstacles, there's gonna be trials, there's gonna be things that pop up that frustrate us. Our spouse might not treat us with respect. Men, women, you might feel unloved. And when you feel unloved, you're not going to want to give honor and respect. Husbands, when you don't get honor and respect, you're not going to want to love. And it's going to be easy to do this downward spiral. But God has called us husbands to reflect Christ. We've been given the authority to lead and to break that cycle. And we break that cycle by being like Christ, sacrificially love our wives the way that Christ loved the church. And women, you have the exact same responsibility and the exact same importance and value of honoring your husband when you feel unloved. And as you do that, you're going to create an environment of peace and freedom in your home that your children will sense, and it will create an environment where your children will feel that peace and submit to you and trust you to lead. God has called us to be different from the world. There's a different destination. There's a different purpose. And to get there, there's a different way to live. And so I want to challenge us as Grace Bible Church that as we walk out our freedom, it's just not about getting into the Bible. That is definitely the way that we reach freedom. But when we do it together, get in the Word, pray, fellowship with others, those things, those foundational pieces of freedom, accelerate when we're doing it together and we're doing it with our spouses and doing it with our families. And then when we get together corporately, it provides this atmosphere of health. And God wants us to be light in the darkness. The culture is going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And it's not our responsibility to go out and change everybody's behavior. God's called us to change our own. Everybody can do whatever they want, but if you're a child of God, God's called you to live according to his ways. And as we live his ways, it says that there's going to be a light that rises among us in the darkness. And people will see in your family, they'll see in your kids, they'll see in your lifestyle something that they want. Because what you'll have is peace. What you'll have is love. What you'll have is the presence of God. And when you make a decision, you might feel a certain way. You might feel like doing something different. But when you say, God, you're worth more. You're worth more than my feelings, my desires, my own way of thinking things are right. I lay those things on the side, and I want to do things the way that you've called me to do it. There's going to be a blessing that falls on your life. There's going to be influence that falls on your life. There's going to be success and prosperity that God gives to you because you're doing it his way. So I want to take communion this morning. You know, Jesus was the one that modeled it for us. He didn't wait for us to be perfect before he sacrificially loved us, but he showed us he loved us even while we were sinners. If you take the bread this morning, scripture says that his body was broken for us, that we would find healing. God, we thank you, Lord, for your body that was shed for us, that through it we can find healing. Healing in our marriages, healing from past traumas, experiences that we've gone through. God, I pray for those that have been disappointed and felt rejected from their fathers. I know that there's someone here that has been hurt by their father, and because of that, they've never wanted to be like that. God, I pray you'd heal that right now in Jesus' name. God, your broken body heals the trauma that we've experienced of rejection and of pain and hurt. God, heal that in Jesus' name this morning. You can go ahead and can take the bread. God, we also thank you for your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sin, that even as we've experienced hurt and we've hurt other people because of that hurt and maybe lost trust of you because of the things that we've experienced, you didn't hold that against us, but your blood was shed so that we could find forgiveness of every wrong thought, every wrong action, every intent to hurt those that have hurt us. God, we thank you, Lord, that your blood covers all. So we receive your forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus' name. You can go ahead and take the cup this morning. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. If you're here this morning and you've never received the Lord in your life, if you've never experienced walking with him, maybe you've heard about him, but you've never personally walked with him where you've heard his voice and he's become real to you, where you've experienced his love and his acceptance and his forgiveness. If that's you this morning and you want a relationship with Christ and you want the assurance that one day when you die that you'll be able to spend eternity with the one who created you, that knows you from the beginning, who has a plan and purpose for your life that is exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. If you want a relationship with your creator and that God, and you want to walk with him, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. The count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Anyone that wants to receive the Lord this morning that's never walked with him before. Okay, I want to pray for one other group of people. If you heard this message this morning and you have a relationship with God, but you're saying, I want to be that husband, I want to be that wife, I want to be a reflection of Christ in my home, Could you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. God, we just thank you, Lord, for every single life that is surrendered to you this morning, every hand that went up. God, you see our hearts and you see our weaknesses. You see that we desire to walk with you, and sometimes it's difficult. Lord, we pray for your grace, that every single family here would experience your grace and your presence and your peace. Lord, when we feel offended, when we feel hurt, God, that we won't lash out. We won't try to make our families feel the way that we feel, but God, that we would bring that to you. God, I pray that your peace that passes understanding would pour over every single husband, every single wife. Lord, I pray that those that have experienced hurt and even abuse, God, that you would heal those areas. And Lord, that you would give wisdom to walk through the complexity of fallen humanity. God, that you are there with us in our pain, and you give us wisdom of how to handle that. God, I pray that you would give wisdom to every single person here today, that you would cause us to be the light that you have destined us to be. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name.